my name is Dana, and I am the CEO here at Hemlane. I have a very important and special guest for you today, Itai from Honeycomb. And we are going to talk about a landlord insurance today. He is not only a subject matter expert, but also the founder and CEO of Honeycomb, and they have built insurance for you. So Itai, let's go ahead and get started. Tell us a little bit about who you are, how you got into helping landlords with insurance.
Sure, and thanks for having me here. I really appreciate that. So I'm Itai Ben-Zaken. I'm co-founder and CEO of Honeycomb. Originally I come from the insurance world. I used to manage a business unit of a large company that dealt with online insurance comparison for auto. And I'm also a techie, so definitely come from that background too. And my focus of helping landlords with their insurance came from basically a personal experience of one of our founders, who actually was on the board of an HOA and was mind boggled by the increasing costs and the lack of effectiveness and efficiency around building master policies, which are pretty much the same as what landlords buy to insure their apartment buildings and their single family rentals. So we started digging together, and the more we dug, the more we got excited about the huge opportunity for improving both the product offering and the customer experience. So we decided to start the first digital insurer, which would be 100% focused on that market. So that's how we got here.
And why do you think, you had mentioned that the insurance, the premiums are increasing every year. Why do you think that is? With more data and better insights, you think that they would be able to just increase that with CPI. Why do you think insurance premiums have been going up much faster than landlords would like?
Definitely. So it's interesting because in this market, this is more of a niche market. This is not auto insurance where you have Progressive and Geico and others that are super sophisticated and already have very fine-tuned models that work in real time. And they can be improved too, but it's already like a very high bar. This is a market with no clear leader. It's super fragmented. There's, a few large carriers and a ton of regionals. And none of them has really built something that works very effectively to right price risk. So what happens is that they price to the average, and then they look at their losses at the end of the year. And if they're too high, they say, oh, we just have to increase the price for everybody. We've seen this in San Francisco specifically, where people came to us and say, hey, we got increased because of the fires. And
it's fires, like,
we're in downtown San Francisco, so why do we get increased for the fires? So I think that the gist of why it happens is because there is a ton of additional data. There is a ton of technology out there, but it hasn't really made it through to the regional and the less focused on this market carriers that might be big, but they have much bigger fish to fry. So surprisingly, this market still works like 20, 30 years ago. It's all on paper. It takes 2 to 3 weeks. It's all very manual. And that's why we end up where we are. And with Honeycomb, what we said is, let's get much better data. Let's actually build it from the ground up as a true tech insurance company. And that's what helps us be more right priced. And then this way, we don't need to get surprised at the end of the year and say, oh, we have to increase the prices.
Yeah. So do you think it's the tech and then also the data that you have that makes it better, where you don't have to increase those premiums?
Yeah. And again, in our market, I would say there are some pretty good underwriters and there's the really good regional carriers. The problem is you see one of both. You either have a specializing team of underwriters that can do a really good job at right pricing, but they have to do it manually. So they get good loss ratios, but their expense ratios are super high. So they're not really able to scale that model. It might work very well for one state, but if you want to make it nationwide, then you have to hire an army of underwriters, and it gets to be very difficult. The other group is large carriers that have multiple lines, and they're basically saying, we're just going to apply an automation mechanism on this without the depth of the data or the underwriters. And that's where you have situations where it really goes off, and then all of a sudden there's big losses, and all of a sudden you need to either increase the price, or sometimes those carriers would do something even worse for landlords, which is they would just pull out of the state. They would say, you know what, we had too many risks, too many losses in California. We just pulled out of California.
So how do you know this is a really good point, this region specific question of there are certain regions like Florida because of hurricanes and stuff like that, or California because of fires, where insurance is a lot higher. So if I am a real estate investor and I'm looking to purchase out of state or purchase anywhere, how can I get an accurate estimate of insurance, of like what the insurance rates would be as I'm searching for properties? Do I need to call insurance providers before I purchase, or what's the best way to have a good kind of inclination of what that price would be? And how much could it vary, like if I buy a property that's, 20 minutes from another, or is it pretty accurate that the insurance will probably be pretty standard when I'm putting together that pro forma to figure out if I should invest there?
Yeah, so I'd say it's actually pretty difficult still because what I described before, this market is still working like an old school market. You want to get a price, you submit a quote on paper to the broker then submits it to the insurance company. It waits for an underwriter to open the file, to do their analysis. Then it goes back to the broker. If there's any question or a change in deductible or anything, this is back long back and forth. So it will be about a couple of weeks until you actually get a quote, if you do get a quote. The brokers would be able to usually give you a sense of like, okay, you should expect to pay, a 10 cent rate or a 20 cent rate or a 30 cent rate in this region. But I would say it's not that straightforward. It's not like when you shop for auto insurance, you're like, I go online, I get a couple of quotes, and I know where I am. Actually, not going to be very different from each other. Because of that lack of transparency, the market is still a bit of a wild west. You could see quotes that would be 50 or 60% apart from each other, and they would cover the same coverage and would be two comparable insurance companies just because it's not very easy. Like if you if everybody knew the prices of everybody, then nobody could price so far apart. But because it's still so transparent, then this company prices this way and they still have some customers. What we did at Honeycomb is we tried to create a lot more transparency. So you can come online right now for all the states that we're live in and get a quote either real time for 60 to 70% of the assets or within a day or two if it does go to referral of underwriter review.
Okay, great. Now that would be my next question. When you said that these rates can vary 50 to 60%, is the cheapest always the best? At what point, like what questions should I be asking to know, hey, maybe I should take a more expensive option in these quotes for my landlord insurance?
Yeah, no, I would be careful from just choosing by price. I think price is important, but there are several things that I would look at when you're choosing your insurance coverage. The first and one of the most important ones is insurance to value. How much are you being covered for? If you have a quote for $10,000 and another quote for $7,000, but the quote for $10,000 covers twice the replacement cost, then it's actually a better product. It's more expensive, but you're getting actually a lower cost per dollar of replacement cost. And the replacement cost piece is very important, especially in times like this where labor and materials costs are actually sharply increasing. So even if you bought a place before or you had it appraised and you kind of know what was the replacement cost 2 years ago, it could be much higher today. And if it gets damaged, you might not be able to rebuild it or fix it. So insurance to value and replacement cost assessment is super important. Actually knowing what you're getting for, it's not really just the price, it's actually the price per dollar of replacement cost. And then again, if you want to compromise, you can decide, okay, I'm just gonna insure this property for less. But again, I would be very careful with that. The second thing is, knowing whether the insurance that you're buying actually serves your specific needs. There's a lot of cookie cutter programs out there that basically just took a business owner's policy and made some adjustments so that it would be addressable. And then you have, tons of coverage for areas that you would never claim as a landlord, and shortages in coverage in areas like ordinance and law or water backup or things that do actually happen. So just looking and understanding, okay, what am I paying for and what am I actually getting here? Is this coverage really tailor-made to what I need as a landlord? Or is this a cookie cutter approach where it's kind of enhancement to the generic business owner's policy, which I would say usually are not the best. I'd look at the type of form and the type of coverage. I would say in general, there is a named peril option, which is insurance covers A, B, C, D, and if it's not listed on this list, it's not covered. Or the broad form, which is an all peril, which says we cover everything unless we exclude it explicitly. That's usually better. It's usually more expensive. But I would say it depends on your needs. Like there are some insurance policies that won't cover accidental water damage, right? If you think this is very unlikely, or you're like, you know, I can cover this out of pocket, you might be able to save some money. But I would look at the type of form and whether it's a named peril or all peril. Whether the coverage is admitted or non-admitted, huge difference. I probably should have started with that. Admitted means that the insurance carrier is licensed to sell insurance in the state by the state Department of Insurance. And it's important because then if something happens to the insurance company, then you still fall back on the state and the state can take responsibility on some of the damages. If it's not admitted, then it's not only that you can't fall back on any backup options from the state, that, you know, if you're in California or in a jurisdiction that really takes care of its of the customers living there, then if you work with a non-admitted, with a Texas-based carrier or out-of-state-based carrier, then they can really price however they want. They're not subject to any regulations. Usually non-admitted prices, non-admitted coverage is more expensive and provides lesser coverage. And usually a well-maintained property would want to try to find an admitted carrier. So that makes a big difference. I would look at that to understand, is this admitted coverage or is this an E&S market or a surplus line or not admitted? There's a ton of acronyms, but your broker would usually know that for sure. Sometimes the brokers, you know, again, they might not have all the options. Sometimes, you know, in areas that are more prone to catastrophic exposure, there's only non-admitted or there's only E&S market. It's usually places like Florida, some areas of Texas. But if you're in California or Illinois or most of the U.S., there is admitted coverage available. And usually it's a better coverage for a better price.
Okay.
And then lastly, I would say also very important, the financial strength of the company that you're working with. Usually there's AM Best ratings. I would say you want to go with somebody who's AM Best excellent rated and above.
And how do you find that? How do you find that rating? Is that published on their websites?
It's on their websites and you can go to AM Best website and you can see. If you want to be super thorough, then you want to also look at like who's the insurance company backing the insurance company, who's the reinsurer. A lot of the insurance risk is basically being rolled over to bigger insurers, how strong they are. There's a couple of big players like Swiss Re, Munich Re, Hannover Re that are covering a lot of these, and they're really substantiated carriers, been around, and you could look at that too. But yeah, I mean, that's a lot to cover. And some of the really good brokers would actually do a good side-by-side comparison for you, apples to apples, and would go through all of these. But yeah, if they don't, then you want to ask them about this so that you're covered.
And there's some great points there. I mean, like accidental water damage. Anyone out there who is a landlord knows that happens, that sometimes the tenant doesn't treat the property like their own, and that becomes damage to your assets. So just making sure, you know, you cross your T's and dot your I's with it. One other question before we get into Honeycomb specifically, you know, there are landlords first time starting out, many listening to this, who will say, do I need an LLC? And a lot of times insurance helps cover most of the risk, not all, but most of the risk associated with having a rental property. So what are your thoughts on that? Would you tell every landlord, like, and obviously you can't give legal advice, but knowing it coming from the insurance side, would you say, yeah, insurance is really there to help protect your personal assets, your own primary residence, maybe your vacation homes as you're investing in the rental properties? Or would you say, hey, you know, there's just too many cases where insurance wouldn't cover it and you really should be considering an LLC right off the bat? What is your feedback and take on that?
I mean, from what I've seen, I would probably suggest to have an LLC because I think the setup costs are not huge. And it's usually a good thing to separate between your personal assets and what you run as a business. But That's actually less of an expertise of ours. Like, we would cover you if you are an individual. And we would usually provide the same coverage. It kind of goes back into like deeper areas that I'd say are less of an insurance expertise question. So I don't know.
Yeah, no, and people in California are the ones where, you know, there's an $800 minimum tax on those LLCs, even if it's foreign qualifications. And then the question is, do you have to pay that $800? So I think from a perspective of a legal perspective, talk to a lawyer about it. But I do think there's something there to say insurance could cover 95, 97% of that risk. And so I think it's a good point to really understand your insurance policy and then go back and evaluate the LLC with your lawyer or who's ever setting up that entity that you're deciding to move forward with. Okay, let's jump into Honeycomb specifically. So we know a little bit about it. What would you say, besides the technology and the data, or maybe that's it in a bit more detail, what makes you different than any other landlord insurance out there? And are there other tech companies doing what you're doing?
I think the first and foremost differentiator is that we're solely focused on this market. And it's kind of the reason that I think our solution is effective, because nobody else has done that before. Everybody else has looked at this market as a bit of an afterthought. Oh, we'll do that too. We do homeowners, we'll do that. We do commercial hotels, we'll do habitational too. And it doesn't work. So we're, I'd say, the only digital insurer who focuses solely on the multifamily landlord HOA insurance market. There are a few other tech companies who play in this space, and I think they're worthwhile competitors. I have a lot of appreciation for them. They tend to focus on the smaller assets, so they mostly do SFRs up to four units. And I think that from the technology perspective, I think we're the only ones who really built our own proprietary technology versus using a lot of off-the-shelf things, which is good. I mean, I think there's a ton of third-party data that you can use, but I think we're the deepest in developing our own technology. And maybe I'll just take another drink of water.
Yeah, definitely. Well, and, you know, would there be, one of my questions there is, would there be a reason we have investors who use, who have single family homes, and then they start getting into multifamily, and their single family may be with one of those other providers, maybe even some of the new tech providers in the space that we hear of, like the OBs and Steadilies. But would there be an advantage to saying, next time you get a, you know, 10 unit complex, you know, actually Honeycomb might be better for that, and you should actually have two different insurance providers? Have you seen that happen in the market today?
I mean, I think it's usually something landlords need to evaluate based on the criteria that I mentioned before. I would look, like, if Honeycomb quotes something that OB has right now or some of the other tech players, I would look at, you know, is it admitted? What's the replacement cost? What are we offering in terms of the different details of the coverage and the enhancements versus what's existing? And what's the price for all that? If you know, the existing carrier has really solid coverage and it's lower priced, and I don't think there's a reason to, like, I would love to have them as customers, but I wouldn't encourage them to switch if there, excuse me, isn't a big difference in price and it's solid coverage. But I think in most cases, if you dig into the details, then you find out, okay, is this option for us or not? There is also an advantage to kind of use one carrier that you build a relationship with. You sometimes can get a discount if you bring, you know, a portfolio, and it's a high quality portfolio. I mean, you are able, if it's a bigger deal. So if you're a few single families here and now you have a few multifamilies and all of a sudden it's $100,000 policy, then sometimes it is worthwhile, because then you get a lot more attention. But I think I would really judge it by the quality, what you get for it. Like, we try to be very transparent about, hey, this is what we're offering. We're not always going to be the cheapest. We usually would be very, very competitive on high quality assets, well-maintained assets.
Yeah. Great. And then final question for you. Tell us more about this AI and Inspector app that you have, that you talk about. are others doing it? How do you get this AI? Like, how do you get enough data for it? I would love to learn a little bit more.
Sure thing. I apologize. Something got stuck. So our inspector app is basically enabling us to do the inspection of the property remotely and much more in a much more streamlined fashion. For us as an insurance company, it's great because we get a lot more properties inspected with a lot less friction and effort and cost. But for the customers, there's a pretty big advantage because then they can get the inspection out of the way as quickly as they want. We've seen a lot of customers who insure the property and then the insurance company would schedule a physical inspection after 2 months. And then after 3 months, they'd get a lovely letter from the insurance company saying, hey, you need to fix this, 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 and this. It will cost you $20,000 or we'll cancel you. And that's very tough because then they can't go back to the
previous
carrier. Yeah. With Honeycomb, the fact that this is like digital, if you want to make sure we see the inspection, we clear the inspection before you switch to us, then it's possible. So that's a nice thing about like the usability element and keeping you safe out of surprises. The AI that we develop basically looks at all the imagery that comes from the inspection and from third-party data like satellite and aerial photography and helps us provide a score for each property from the outside and from inside. And then there's all those additional discounts that we can give if it's a really well-maintained property. I think for well-maintained properties, we're very hard to beat on the prices. Could go up to, you know, or down 40% below what the market had, sometimes even lower than that. But that's really the nice thing about having AI to do that, because if you need to do all of that manually, then typically either you don't spend the time to look at every little piece, or you do that, but then you're probably not able to scale beyond being covering just the Chicago area where you've been there for 30 years and you're very well familiar with that. But if the underwriter goes somewhere else, then now you don't know how to underwrite this because nothing is
programmed.
It's all institutional knowledge. So a lot of what we did is respecting the institutional knowledge of great underwriters in the industry, but kind of trying to take this knowledge and start programming some pieces of that into technology. Not everything is transferable. It's actually very difficult to say, hey, I'm going to be able to make the best judgment with zero human intervention. I actually don't think it will happen, but we don't need that. What we need to do is just automate 90 or 95% of it. So we're 95%, you know, or basically, you know, 20x better than everybody else. And 5% of the very weird fringe type of
cases, totally.
Then they still go to somebody and they clear it within a day. But I think the ability to, you know, take tedious tasks that you don't really need a human to do, like taking a look at the roof and seeing if there's watermarks on that. Technology can do it sometimes even better than humans today. That's stuff that we do on AI. But actually going into a property and looking at inside imagery or basement imagery with a ton of features, it's much more difficult. And we don't necessarily need that because we can make a judgment call on a lot of the more uniform pieces of information.
Yeah, Itai, I love that because I think that's true. Like technology will not solve everything, but if it can get 95% of the way there and then you know when humans need to get involved, makes all the difference. Fantastic. Tell the audience listening to this how they can learn more about Honeycomb, how they can reach you, and anything else in closing.
Oh, thank you. It's super simple. I mean, if you go to honeycombinsurance.com or you Google Honeycomb Insurance, you can get to our website and either get a quote online or get some info from our learning center. And you can call our call center. There's licensed agents who can pick up the phone, help you make the best decision on insurance. And if we can't cover you or if we're too expensive, then we'll always try to help you find the best coverage.
Great. Well, thanks so much for being on today. Really appreciate it and look forward to you guys expanding. How many states are you in now and you're going to all 50?
So we're in 10 states covering 10 states. Almost 50% of the U.S. because we cover most of the big states, California, Texas, Illinois. And we're planning to be live in 20 states in the US, covering 80% of the population by mid-2023. And then we'll see. I mean, some of the smaller states, I mean, we're still working on these, but eventually we're planning to be live in all 50 states.
Fantastic. Well, that is great to hear. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Dana. Appreciate you inviting me, and looking forward to doing more things together.